together, with the name of love above all others. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you, and we've got a great show for you this week. A lot to talk about, a lot to impart to you that I think will help you in your daily life, in the struggles of life, and also help you in evangelization. And I do hope you're continuing to have a great summer. You know, lots happening in Minnesota. Of course, there's no more walleye fishing up at Mille Lacs at this point, but there's a lot of other lakes, and there's a lot of other kind of fishing to do, and that's what evangelization is all about. It's about fishing for hearts and souls, not catch and release, but catch and give to God. And that's what we're all about at the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. Today on the show, we're going to talk about something that maybe you've been doing and practicing for quite some time and need a refresher course on it, and go a little bit deeper as to how this basic fundamental practice of the Church can help you out and your family. And what I'm talking about is the rosary today. Oftentimes, you know, when people grow up in the Catholic Church, they pray the rosary, but they're not really sure what that is really all about, or how can that help you in your life, and what does Mary have to do with the rosary, and why do I repeat these mysteries? We're going to talk about some of that today. In fact, we've got a little bit later on here in just a few minutes, we're going to be bringing onto the show Margie Manley, and she's the executive producer of the Rosary Evangelization Project. And I'm familiar with that project, and they have done just a great job. We're going to talk about that Rosary Evangelization Project. How many times do you hear rosary and evangelization in the same phrase? Also joining us today is going to be the principal of GEM Communications and Consulting, and that's Dick Bolden, and he's going to be joining us also to talk about this wonderful, wonderful project. But as we get ready to talk about the rosary, let me give you just a little bit of a background on it. The origin of the rosary really started as Our Lady gave the rosary to St. Dominic, and that was clear back in 1221. And the reason that Our Lady gave this great tool, or some people even call a weapon, is to combat Albigensian heresy. And Albigensian heresy, I'm not going to go deep into that, but it basically purported to have two worlds, really. You know, you've got the good and you've got the bad, and it's centered around Jesus and brought questions up about Jesus and his humanity and deity, and so there were some heresies going around back then, in the 1220s, and they needed to be straightened out. And the mysteries of the rosary really became a tool to help people stay on track about Jesus and his deity, and he was born of the, you know, the Virgin Mary. So this became very, very important. And so we know St. Dominic would go into the villages and he'd preach to them the mysteries of salvation. And then he would pray Hail Marys. And then the rosary developed over the years until 1569, when St. Pius V officially approved the current form of the rosary. But essentially in the rosary, you have 20 Our Fathers, you have 200 Hail Marys, it's coupled with vocal prayer, and there's a meditation on 20 gospel mysteries. And it's an incredibly practical prayer involving both your head and your heart, both soul and body. It's all part of the prayer. And the physical involvement of the body, coupled with the physical formation of the words, helps to keep the body at the disposition of the soul, or to keep you focused on these mysteries. And here's the logic of the rosary. It follows this way. The beads are used for the sake of the prayer. The prayers are for the sake of the mysteries. The Hail Marys constitute the warp on which is woven the contemplation of the mysteries. And I so appreciate what St. John Paul II said in an Angelus message back in 1978. I think it was October of 1978. He said, it's a beautiful quote. He said, "The rosary is my favorite prayer, a marvelous prayer, marvelous in its simplicity and depth. The rosary beats the rhythm of human life," he said. What a beautiful quote, isn't it? I mean, think about your life today and think about the rhythm of your life. How many times do you find yourself suddenly plunging into sorrowful situations? Or you wake up and life just turns around. It's glorious in your life. You go through these various stages. In fact, raising children, you kind of go through all these different mysteries of the rosary at different times in your life, in the different times of raising the children. But the beautiful thing about the rosary is that it really covers the gamut of the human existence. And it takes you through all these stages of Jesus' life. And one of the beautiful things about it, too, is that you have a guide that takes you through these joyful mysteries and luminous mysteries and the sorrowful mysteries and the glorious mysteries. And that guide is the one who also went through these mysteries with Jesus. And that's the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you have a focus, which is the life of Christ, and you have a guide who's the Mother of God taking you through all of these mysteries. And these mysteries are here to teach you something about God, to bring you to a new level in your walk with God. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, if we had the time, we might a little bit later on, I'd love to share with you, some of the beautiful truths that are found in Scripture about the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In the Old Testament, we have a couple of really marvelous positions in the Old Testament. One of them is found during the Kingdom of David, and it is called the Geberah in Hebrew. The Geberah. And the Geberah is, in Hebrew, it's translated the Queen Mother. And we find that the Queen Mother was always there with the king making very, very important decisions. And she acted as an advocate and an intercessor for the people. So when you come to the New Testament, you look for the fulfillment of all of these positions. Who is the Queen Mother in the Old Testament? Well, it wasn't the wife of the king. That's Western thinking. But in the Near East, the queen was the mother of the king. So it's very easy to find out who the queen mother is. It's the mother of the king. So if Solomon is king, then who's the queen mother? Well, it's Bathsheba. So you can always identify the mother. Now you come to the New Testament, who's the king? Well, you know as well as I do who the king is. It's Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, simple question, who's the queen? You're right, it's his mother. Case closed. She's the queen. So we didn't come up with these titles, We didn't make up this idea. This comes deep, deep back in the New Testament, and we are seeing the fulfillment of it in the New Testament with the Blessed Virgin Mary. So why do I bring all that up? Because the Blessed Virgin Mary is not only the queen mother, who is an advocate and an intercessor for you, but she also fulfills another role that's very clearly seen in Luke's gospel. And in Luke's gospel, you have a beautiful, beautiful picture of the new Ark of the Covenant coming in to Jerusalem. And the language that Luke uses to bring the Blessed Virgin Mary into Jerusalem is the same language that's used in the Old Testament when King David and Samuel, he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And so the early church soon recognized that the Virgin Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament always went before Israel. Like when they came across the Jordan River to take Jericho, what went first? The Ark of the Covenant into battle. And so if the Blessed Virgin Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, guess what? She's interested in battling for you, and she's interested in evangelization. So those are some of the things we're going to, go into this, keeping in mind. And And we're going to go deeper. And we're going to look at this new Rosary Evangelization Apostolate. I'm so curious to go deeper into this. So stay with us. We're going to learn more about the Rosary. And I pray that as a result of the show today, you will adopt some new practices in your life that will both help you internally with your heart, your mind, but they will help you in teaching your children, staying away from error, and they will also, these mysteries will help you in evangelization. That is, bringing people to Jesus. This could be a new day for you as we go deeper here on the Rediscover Hour.
Rediscover. For more than 150 years, Washburn McCreevy Funeral Chapels and Cemeteries have been the trusted choice of families at the end of life. They're a trusted partner for pre-planning funeral arrangements, cremation, mausoleum, or burial information. You can be confident your wishes will be honored when you contact the local experts at Washburn McCreevy. They continue to grow and offer updated and remodeled facilities to serve parishes and communities throughout the Twin Cities. You'll always find an exceptional level of professionalism and care. They can visit your home to assist with no obligation pre-planning funeral or cremation services. Washburn McCreevy can also assist with veterans or Social Security benefits related to the end of life. Be connected to a caring professional near you by calling Washburn McCreevy at 612-377-2203, 24 hours per day. That's 612-377-2203, or visit online at washburnmccreevy.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you on this beautiful, beautiful summer day, talking about the Rosary today. And we're going to take a little bit of a different angle. We're going to look at the Rosary as it relates to the new evangelization and how it relates to getting the gospel out and encountering Jesus Christ. It was a little longer than the other day. It was quite a few months ago, I guess. I saw a bumper sticker that really caught my attention. And the bumper sticker said, "Your mother hasn't heard from you in decades." I thought that was pretty good. And I thought, well, maybe that's for me. You know, that I need to pray the rosary more often. Of course, the decades, each set of 10 is a decade. And it's just a cute bumper sticker. But I would ask you today, has your mother heard from you in decades? And that's what we're going to talk about. Joining us today to talk about a rosary evangelization apostolate is Margie Manley. And Margie is the executive producer of the Rosary Evangelization Project. And joining Margie is Dick Bolden. He's the co-founder and director of the Milwaukee-based Rosary Evangelization Apostolate, which was founded January 31st of 2003 with Archbishop Timothy Dolan, good friend of ours, huh? And the apostolate is presently under the episcopal leadership of Archbishop Listecki. Now, the mission of the apostolate is to bring people to encounter Jesus Christ through our Lord and through Our Lady in the Rosary in response to the spiritual crisis in our culture. And boy, do we have some crisis going on. And they are also hoping for great peace, for family, for our country. So, Margie and Dick, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you, Jeff. It's great to be on the show.
Long introduction there, but it's warranted because you've been doing so much in this project. And I had the opportunity, Margie, to work with you a little bit not too long ago in setting up this and filming this new project that you have going that is so exciting. Tell us about the mission of the Rosary Evangelization Apostolate. For those who don't know, give us kind of the 10,000-foot description.
Well, the Rosary Evangelization Apostolate, you did such a great job explaining its purpose. Dick Bolden, I have the great pleasure of working with Dick Bolden. He is the director of the apostolate, and it's really to almost revive the rosary. And, you know, we need a revival in America, and the rosary is a great way to do that. And so there are many ways that he is promoting the rosary, the apostolate is promoting the rosary, but one in particular, and one that is very close to me, is the production of this Rosary documentary. It's a film project, actually. And this was an idea that Dick came up with, and he commissioned my company as well as Backflip Films out of Madison, Wisconsin, to lead this film production. And really, it's meant to, you were part of that, as you mentioned. It was a great joy visiting you and Kelly Wahlquist in Minnesota a couple weeks ago. And we are hoping that through this film, that we can revive the rosary, that we can develop a curiosity and an action toward praying the rosary in an effort to bring about hope and spiritual transformation in America. This film is going to include people like yourself who are, you know, experts in the Catholic Church on theology and scripture and really explain the richness. But we are also going to be including families, real witness stories mm-hmm. that demonstrate how the rosary can truly work powerfully in a family's life.
Talking with Margie Mandley and Dick Bolden from this wonderful new Rosary Evangelization Apostolate. You mentioned, and I'm gonna ask some questions, and you guys can both jump in on who you see fit to, you know, to answer this right away. But you mentioned, Margie, about we're reviving the rosary. Has it plummeted? Has it gone down in popularity? And if so, why do you think that is?
Well, I think it has the praying it has plummeted over the years. I mean, I can speak only for my generation. You know, oftentimes you hear from people, that's my grandmother's prayer, or I remember seeing my grandmother praying that. But, you know, as I'm raising kids, you know, I hear from my peers, I've never thought about praying the rosary with my children. Even some of the people on my team, as we've started the production of this, their interest and their research on it has pointed to, wow, this beautiful prayer exists. And I think the promotion of it, you know, it started back when St. John Paul II wrote his apostolic letter on the rosary. I mean, he was really promoting this need for families to reengage with the rosary, to pray it, because it provides and it gives such peace to a family, and it really keeps a family together. But I do think that there is a generation, maybe a lost generation, not to say all, but a lost generation who doesn't understand or maybe hasn't been informed of the beauty, of its beauty that you've talked so eloquently about at the beginning of this interview.
You know, that when I think of the rosary growing up, and maybe men are like this, and I've changed over the years. My whole mindset has changed about the rosary. But if I were honest, I would say that probably when I was 19, 20, 21 years old, if somebody would have asked me, do you pray the rosary? I would have said no. I mean, I didn't really understand or remember how to do it. But when you talk about beads, rosary beads, do you find that some men automatically kind of put that in a category of women, in can that be changed by how you look at the rosary as a weapon, as a tool to really engage Christ and to engage this culture?
I'd like to take that one on, Jeff. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Greetings to our listeners on the airwaves.
Dick
here.
Bolden.
It's been a little while since we've seen each other. You were here in Milwaukee for some conferences, and thanks for this opportunity. The rosary is a weapon to counter the crisis in our culture and the crisis in America. We think of all the saints. I can't think of one saint that did not have a devotion and a love for the Blessed Mother and a love for the rosary. And indeed, the church, any time there is a crisis in the church, a crisis in the world, the church, the Holy Fathers, they call upon the faithful to turn to Our Lady in the simple yet profound yet powerful prayer of the Rosary. We think back in 1571 when Christendom was about to be annihilated throughout Europe, and the enemies of the Church gathered their forces to destroy Christianity. And St. Pius V asked on all Christendom, hey, what's the solution here? Turn to Our Lady. Pray the Rosary daily. And they sent a naval force into battle, armed not only with their weapons, but the true weapon, which was the rosary. They went into battle praying the rosary under the banner of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And a great naval victory was achieved. And in fact, St. Pius V said, well, this is just not a human victory. This is a victory of supernatural origin, and it was attributed to the Blessed Mother, so the instituted, the Holy Father instituted our Feast of Our Lady of Victories, which was then changed very quickly to Our Lady of the Rosary. Well, that happened 300 years ago, approximately, 1571, more than 300 years ago. And now we're on another battle, a spiritual battle, not only in Europe, but in America and across the entire world. And again, the Holy Fathers, from John Paul II, the Benedict XVI, and our present Holy Father, they just keep coming on strong and say, hey, turn to Our Lady and pray the Rosary. So what we've done at the Rosary Evangelization Apostle, besides drawing people to encounter Jesus Christ through the Mary and the Rosary for the last 12 years, now especially in the last 3 years, we're turning nationally across America, because we see, what is the solution to the problems in America? You know, what's the solution to bring back the true nature of marriage, to counter the attacks on human life and religious freedom, the violence in our streets, the constant attacks on the family? And it's simply what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And he won the victory. But now he gave us Mary, his mother, as your mom, Jeff, and my mom, Margie's mom. Everyone who's listening, Mary is our true mother. And now she simply hands something out to each one of us. Hey, here's your ticket to get to heaven. It's my rosary.
Right.
You know, pray the rosary with me. What's so powerful about the rosary is it's all about Jesus Christ, of course. But the second part is it's a trustment prayer to the Blessed Mother. And we pray the Hail Mary, the last part of the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. What's the next word? Now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever we pray one Hail Mary, one decade, one rosary, who's praying with us? It's the Blessed Mother.
You bring up a really good point, and you bring up a good and encouraging point, Dick and Margie, and that is that when you pray the Hail Mary, which first of all is a biblical prayer, when you pray that prayer, I remember first when it hit me that I was, every time I prayed the Hail Mary, I was praying for myself now, but I was also praying for that day when I die. And so, you know, a lot of people, their biggest fear in life is dying, but then on top of that, it's dying and not being with the Lord and your loved ones forever. And this affords us to focus on that day every time we pray. And as we enter spiritual battles in our life, we're always praying that, you know, that we'd be faithful, pray for me now and at the hour of my death. At the greatest battle that I might face, pray for me, Mother. Pray for me that I would remain faithful at that time. And that's such a beautiful, beautiful prayer. I just want to play devil's advocate for a moment. When people you know, might be listening and saying, well, isn't that just a lot of repetition? Does it really mean anything when you just repeat things over and over?
Well, it's just like I'm married. I tell my wife, Terry, when we got married 47 years ago, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I say that today. I say several times a day.
Isn't that rather redundant?
Every time I say I love you to Terry, it takes on new meaning. It's the present moment. We just don't live on in the past, which we leave to God's mercy, of course, but we live in the present moment, and we want to tell her, the people we love, I love you. So I want to tell Mary, hey, Mary, I love you, by praying here, Hail Mary. I want to tell Jesus, hey, in the middle of the hinge point of the Hail Mary is the name of Jesus, right in the middle. It's the center of gravity, as John Paul II would call it. So 53 times in the rosary we pray a Hail Mary, and that's 53 times I'm saying to Jesus and Mary, I love you. I love you personally. I know you're real. You're real in my life. I have a relationship with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to continually tell you I love you. So love is never redundant. Love is a dynamic which will go on through our entire life. We have to continually say I love you to our loved ones.
You know, I think also, Jeff, you know, based on that repetition, I have to admit, I was one of those people that used to think, you know, when my mom would make us pray the rosary when we were little, why do we have to say this over and over and over again? As I've learned, and what you said at the beginning, the mysteries are the rhythm of life. The more you come to know that the rosary is focused directly on the mysteries of Jesus'
right.
life.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can understand, the more one can understand how those mysteries, how we can encounter those mysteries directly in our own lives. You know, I love what you said at the beginning when, how many times have we plunged through the sorrowful times of our life? How many times have we been faced with a question from our Lord, will you say yes as those mysteries are come to life in the joyful mysteries? Will you say yes to me for this will that I have, this plan I have for you, even though it might be difficult, even though it might be a cross, will you say yes? And our hope is through this film that we can manifest these mysteries, that we can show these mysteries and how they play out in actual families' lives and take real families, real stories, and show, you know, say the sorrowful mysteries, how they are carrying a cross and how the rosary can actually help them through these times in their lives.
That's a beautiful thought. I want to talk a little bit more after our break about the 2015 National 54-Day Rosary Novena, and I want to unpack that. You know, what are we going to do with the 54-Day Rosary Novena? What's a novena? You know, some people might be tuning in right now and never even heard the word novena before, but I also want to hear about the video and how that's going and how people can take advantage of that. You know, Margie and Dick, one of the things I so appreciate about the rosary is that no matter where you go, you can be sitting in the doctor's office, you can be traveling on vacation, you can be stuck in traffic. And the minute you say, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and you begin in earnest the rosary, you build almost what you could call a temple in time. You build a place, you create a place where you can commune with Jesus and follow his life. And you can walk with your mother who's praying for you now and at the hour of your death. And you can dedicate rosaries to certain causes that are going on in your life. But isn't it a beautiful thought that wherever you're at, you can create that temple in time? Isn't that a beautiful? I heard that one time. That's not my idea. I wish I could take credit for it. But isn't that a beautiful thought?
I love that. Beautiful.
Creative.
And it's amazing because I think children are especially have the disposition to receive that grace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when children are taught the rosary at an early age, they inherently recognize that beautiful gift, you know. Even mm-hmm. my own children now and then stop me in the car and say, with all the noise going on or the bickering or the fighting in the car, we need to say a rosary right now. It's really quite funny, though. But yeah, it's a beautiful thought.
We're talking with Margie Mandley and Dick Bolden about the Rosary Evangelization Apostolate. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to learn more about this 54-day Rosary Novena that you can get involved in. We're also going to learn a little bit more about the video. But I'd also like to ask our guests, what happens when you pray the rosary? What is the intent? What's the goal? What is happening when you sit down and your hands run along those beads and you pray the Our Fathers and the Glory Bees and the Hail Marys? What happens? So don't go away. This is the Rediscover Hour. We'll be back. We're going to learn a lot more about the rosary and evangelization right after this.
Rediscover.
A large storm with hail, wind, and heavy rain recently hit the Twin Cities area. You may have damaged your home's roof, siding, or gutters. Elysian Construction is a local company with years of experience in repairing homes. We make the process easy for you as we work directly with your insurance company to completion. We are proud of our A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. We are fully licensed and insured and have expertise with all types of roofing, siding, and gutters. The inspection is free and we can provide you with references of work we've done for customers right in your area. Much of the damage done in the recent storm may not be visible from the ground. We invite relevant radio listeners to call us today. We'll visit your home within a few days to perform your free inspection. We'll document any damages with photos and leave a full report with you for your review. Your home repair and all the paperwork will be handled quickly and painlessly. To get started, you can call our Golden Valley offices today at 612-314-6767. That's 612-314-6767. Elysian Construction, trusted and recommended. 612-314-6767.
For the sake
Welcome back once again to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins with you. This is the show in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, where we talk about all things evangelization. And hey, what doesn't involve evangelization? What doesn't impact evangelization in our church? We're talking with Margie Mandolin and Dick Bolden about the Rosary Evangelization Apostolate. One of the great things that's happening and emerging from the Midwest here, they're out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And while you might have problems with the Packers, you're not going to have problems with their ministry. And I had to bring that up, Dick.
That was very good, Jeff.
I'm sure, you know, maybe it was cheesy. I don't know, but I'm sure you got it. Hey, we're talking about the Rosary Project, the Rosary Evangelization Apostolates Project, which is a film, and we want to talk about that. But before we get into the 54-day Rosary Novena, can you answer just kind of succinctly, what happens when you pray the Rosary? I mean, if you were to look into the invisible world and you prayed the Rosary, what would you see?
Well, I see two things. The Rosary is not only is both a historical prayer and a in the present tense. Any of the mysteries, well, they are the principal events and what Jesus has done for us, and how Mary has related in a lot of those events. Well, we ponder and reflect on what happened 2,000 years ago. Those marvelous, merciful, loving things which God has done for us.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not just things that happened 2,000 years ago. For instance, as an example, the second joyful mystery is the visitation. The visitation not only of Mary going to visit her cousin Elizabeth, you know, and if that's something that happened 2,000 years ago, it happens today. Anytime you or I or our listeners go to visit somebody else, to give somebody a helping need, it's the visitation where we're caring for somebody else. When we are being evangelized, we're bringing Jesus Christ to others. So the Rosary, when we pray it, is again reflecting what has happened 2,000 years ago, but what is also how we are involved in those mysteries now.
Sure.
And because of we have to put ourselves. It's kind of the Ignatian way of praying too, where we see ourselves in the story, in the event that we're praying on for each decade.
And there's so many beautiful mysteries. You know, when you start off with a joyful, and you've got the Annunciation of the Lord, as you mentioned, the visitation of Mary to Elizabeth, the Nativity of our Lord Jesus, the presentation, and then finding Jesus in the temple at age 12. And you move on to the sorrowful, and you've got the agony of Jesus in the garden, the scourging at the pillar. Jesus is crowned with thorns. He carries his cross, and he's crucified. And then you got the glorious, he rises from the dead, the ascension of Jesus to heaven, the descent of the Holy Spirit, the assumption of Mary into heaven, and Mary's crowned as queen of heaven and earth. And then not too long ago, St. John Paul II gave us five more. And he gave us the baptism in the Jordan, the wedding, the proclamation of the kingdom, the transfiguration, and the institution of the Eucharist. I'm curious because you, both of you, Margie and Dick, you're so involved in the Rosary. Why do you think he, after all these years, inserted five more?
Oh, I just love that. I love that. And reading about that in his apostolic letter was absolutely beautiful. They're the light mysteries. They're meant to give light to the world. And through these mysteries and how beautiful and inspirational and brilliant that these mysteries are, that they show us those moments in our Lord's life where light was brought to the world. And we are called to bring light to the world. We are called to invite light into our own light, into our own life, into our own hearts. And these mysteries directly relate to the brilliance that our Lord can have in our life. And the other question that you had, Jeff, a minute ago about what happens when you pray the Rosary, in a very real, simple way, we are able to call peace into the world. We are able to create peace in the world by praying the Rosary. And the second thing is, prayers get answered. The Rosary is a very powerful prayer. It's a very powerful tool in which Our Lady directly takes our prayers to her Son, and prayers are answered. And through some of the stories that we're starting to uncover, it's amazing how beautiful of a prayer this is to ask for our Blessed Mother's intercession for prayers.
Coming up this year, we have a 54-day Rosary Novena. And I'd like you to talk to us a little bit about what that entails. But first of all, what's a novena? For those that may be tuning into the Rediscover Hour for the first time, maybe you've never heard the word before, what's a novena? And then tell us what the National 54-day Rosary Novena is all about.
A novena is basically praying for a specific intention for 9 days. What we have done with the 54-day Rosary Novena for this year, the crisis is of such epic proportion. We have a gigantic spiritual crisis in our culture in America and throughout the entire world. All we have to do is turn on the television, the radio. You know, every aspect of life is being is under attack, whether it's family, marriage, peace, the violence on our streets. And so because of the crisis, we want to, okay, not just pray for 9 straight days. Let's make it 54 days, because this is such an important time in our mm-hmm. history. So the first 27 days are for the specific intention, and the second 27 days are in Thanksgiving, because we have to be thankful for all the graces that the Blessed Mother is interceding for us during our prayer novena, but also for all the things that our Lord Jesus Christ continually does for us each and every day, even giving us life today. So what we are doing in response to the spiritual crisis in the family and in marriage, the true nature of marriage, we are launching a national rosary novena, which lasts 54 days. It'll begin on the Feast of the Assumption, August 15th. If you count 54 days, this is what we did with Archbishop Listecki when we were looking for when we wanted to launch this. It ends on the Feast of the Rosary. Now, that is not a coincidence. That's actually a sign from God. It's a divine providence. So we end on the Feast of the Rosary. And so we're asking people to pray during this time for the specific intention of the family and for marriage. These are truly the two hot-button issues of our time right now. The International Meeting of the Families in Philadelphia is coming up, mm-hmm. the Synod on the Family. The true nature of marriage is under constant attack, particularly what the Supreme Court has done for the United States of America. And no matter what the Supreme Court or government says, they don't dictate and tell us what true marriage is. You know, we follow the will of God on this in the Scripture and the Catholic Church's teaching. So where do people pray the rosary? Well, like you so beautifully said before, you know, you could be praying this individually, in your family, in your parish community, other groups, in a park, waiting on a bus, waiting in line, you know. There are many opportunities, so we can always find 20 minutes a day to be praying.
Yeah, it's certainly a portable prayer.
Yes, it's portable. It's anywhere. And that's what's so beautiful about the rosary. And what we have done is sent a packet to all the bishops of the United States with a letter from the Archbishop of Milwaukee, Jerome Listecki, a letter from myself from the Rosary Apostolate, to the ordinary, to the bishop, to the cardinal, the archbishop of every diocese in the United States, asking them to help to urge their faithful in their diocese to participate in this novena. And there are many bishops and dioceses already participating, or promoting this. We've got over 35 national organizations, which are what we call partners, mm-hmm. including Relevant Radio, our good friends at Relevant Radio.
Very good.
Promoting this across the country. This novena is also now global, because people in other countries have contacted us and said, hey, America, this is not just for you, mm-hmm. for family and marriage. We have the similar issues in our own countries. There are now 66 other countries in different languages promoting this novena. So we are hoping that literally, instead of hundreds of thousands, that millions of people will be praying for the family and marriage. So
sure.
Why we urge all our listeners, you know, join the millions of people, you know, praying of the power of prayer when you have so many people praying for the same intention.
Right, there's power in numbers. And I'm also, you know, struck by how many times I watch the news at night and I read about some of the goofiest things happening culturally, but I'm also disturbed by some of the things I hear about war and what's happening over in Iraq and Iran and Somalia and all these places. And it leaves you with a sense of frustration. It leaves you with a sense sometimes of being handcuffed. Like I can't do anything about this. I'm useless at changing world history. I'm not smart enough. I can't travel. I'm, you know, all of that. But doesn't the rosary give you sort of that behind the scenes weapon to address some of these issues with Our Lady, our mother, in Jesus, in ways that we simply couldn't figure out ourselves? You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you're going to shoot a gun, the gun's going to do something you can't do. If you're going to pray the rosary, it's going to do something that you probably couldn't do on your own, right?
Absolutely, Jeff. I mean, this is a beautiful thought. I'm glad you brought this up. Many people today don't see any hope. The rosary gives us hope. You know, it brings back our Christian joy, like the early Christians said. Look what they went through. They had Christian joy as they were being led into the Colosseum with the lions, you know. Well, we have a different type of lion today, and it's everywhere in every country. And we join with our Blessed Lady, and she instills this Christian joy that we have hope. Jesus has won the victory. Now it's up to us to do our part. I'd like to just mention now, we have a special website set up for this Divina. It's just simply, you know, www.54days.org. And 554 is a number, 54days, D-A-Y-S.org. And on there you can see all the things about the Divina. You can read the letter that Archbishop Listecki sent to all the bishops. You can sign up for free daily reflections. It'll be sent out during every day of the 54 days of the Novena.
Let's go over the intentions again, because I know that you have four. Okay, what was the date? I'm sorry, what was the date? I want to get that down.
Yeah, it launches on August 15th.
August 15th.
The Feast of the Assumption, and closes 54 days later on October 7th, the Feast of the Rosary.
Okay.
And the primary intention is family and marriage. But people can also pray for their own personal intentions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We all have so many things to pray for, but we want to make sure we have this common intention for these hundreds of thousands of people who will be praying with the Blessed Mother, invoking the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, on specifically family and marriage.
So the intentions, are there a set number of intentions right now that people can find on the website?
The intention is simply family. We're trying to make this very simple.
Okay.
What is called the irresistible 54-day rosary novena, there'll be special prayers.
Mm-hmm.
But we're trying to reach hundreds of thousands, millions, hopefully, to pray the rosary. So pray the rosary for the intention for the family and marriage.
Family and the marriage. Okay, yeah. Family and marriage, that's what the intention is.
Yes.
And it's August 15th through October 7th, 54 days. Anybody can do it anywhere. But let's get into some of the specifics here, Dick and Margie. We've got people driving down 494 right now, and they're gonna want to know more about this. Now, we want to help you and support this in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and get on board to pray August 15th through the 7th. But what does the average individual do? Do they talk to their pastor? Do they go online and get the materials for those days? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, I say what you just mentioned is good. The 54days.org, the website, has the information. On here we have resources, and in fact,
good.
On the information we sent to the bishops, they do know about this, but it would be very helpful to the faithful. Go to their parish priest, too, because we have parish bulletin announcements in a Microsoft Word document, which can just simply be copy and pasted. We have the Novena logo. We have the letters from Archbishop Listecki to the Bishops of America. We have a promotional flyer that they can download, and also how to pray the rosary. We have a link directly to the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops. They have a beautiful page set up how to pray the rosary. And for the, what mysteries are for what day, so that comes in very, very helpful.
That's fantastic. So the website is 54, those are the numeral 54.
Yes.
54days.org, you'll get there, www.54days.org. And on the website, you can get all the information that you need to participate in the 54-day rosary Novena, which starts August 15th and October 7th. If your church is not aware of it, you might be the one that brings it to your pastor's attention or the director of religious education. You might be the one that can put this in the bulletin. By the way, Dick, do you have bulletin inserts or anything that people could take out of there and just give it to their church?
The parish bulletin announcement can also be made into an insert. We have a promotional flyer, which is a beautiful cover flyer, which also can be either copy and pasted into a parish bulletin, or just inserted, you know, either way.
That is just great. Hey, let me ask you a couple of personal questions with the rosary. Margie and Dick, when do you typically pray the rosary? And do you use one rosary or multiple rosaries, or is there a rosary that was passed on in your family? Give us a little description of your own life with the rosary.
Oh, I love that question. I pray the rosary either in the morning or the evening. It does vary. However, the person who was very instrumental in passing on the rosary in our family was my grandmother.
Hmm.
I lived in a little urban area in southeastern Wisconsin, Racine, Wisconsin, and she probably lived maybe a half mile or mile away from us growing up. And I remember, I have visions of my grandmother. She used to walk the city. She'd do her grocery shopping, and she'd have her cart with her, and she'd have her rosary in her hand all the time. She prayed the rosary all the time. And as a young adult, she gave me a rosary, a beautiful, beautiful crystal blue rosary. And for many years, as a young adult, it was hidden in a drawer somewhere. It was my grandmother's. You know, I just never really thought too much. And today, to this day, that particular rosary has had very, very special meaning to me. It is the rosary that I tend to go to, you know, in the house. I have many rosaries planted around the house. Some of my friends laugh at me because they can always find a rosary somewhere in our home or in my car. My mother makes rosaries, so she's made one a few years ago when my husband and I celebrated a significant wedding anniversary. She made each of us a rosary, so those are special as well when my husband and I pray together. But so that's when I pray.
You know what, in our home we have over the fireplace, we have a box.
Yeah.
And the box has, I'm not kidding you, it has close to 50 rosaries from plastic to precious jewels and you name it. When people come over, sometimes we're able just to open the box and say, well, take a rosary. We have no shortage. What about you, Dick?
My favorite rosary, which I use, is a rosary which was handmade by my father-in-law. And I he's since passed away, but that has a special meaning to me. And whenever we go out to give conferences or talks or lead the rosary publicly, I always use that one. We usually have a time of the day between 4 and 4:30, which my wife and I pray the rosary together. But I didn't want to forget to mention this. You mentioned a bumper sticker earlier.
Yeah.
As part of this campaign to help America in this spiritual crisis, we have launched the bumper sticker called Help America Pray the Rosary.
Hmm.
Last year, we have given away, Jeff and listeners, over 1 million of these free. We have a couple of benefactors who have been inspired to make these available and to actually ship them. There's no cost. Anybody can order them. They're available in packets of 250, and we've had people from all over the country ordering these in different dioceses, too.
Can they find out more about that on 54days.org?
They can see it there, but more specifically, they can go to another website set up just for this, and it's simple, helpamericapraytherosary.org.
Fantastic.
It's all one word, helpamericapraytherosary.org. And it's a really attractive-looking bumper sticker besides, you know, the message that it says. I'll give you one little story about the power of this bumper sticker.
Sure, you got a couple minutes here.
Yeah. I had this on my car one day, and I went to a post office, and I was waiting in line to be waited on, and a guy runs into the post office and says, whose car is that outside? Whose car is that outside, that blue car? And we all looked around and said, well, what do you mean? It has that bumper sticker. And so I went to the window with him, and he says, hey, I told him, hey, that's my car. And he said, I had to tell you, thank you for that bumper sticker, because until I read it where it says, Help America Pray the Rosary, I did not know that the crisis in America is spiritual, mm-hmm. and the solution is prayer.
Well, the two of you are doing a great job, Margie Manley, Dick Bolden. And the ministry is the Rosary Evangelization Apostolate. Once again, hey, guys, let's rally the troops, shall we? Let's get everyone together in your parish August 15th through October 7th. It's a 54-day novena. You can find out all of the information on 54days.org. And really, tell your pastor about it. Tell your director of religious education. This is how movements begin, when we rally around people who are working hard for something good in the church. And you know as well as I do, there's a lot of problems we're facing, and you can't figure them all out. It's just like the special devotion, Our Lady, Undoer of Knots. Maybe you've got knots in your life right now, and you can't figure it out. You can't make heads or tails of it. Give it to Our Lady. Make this time a time for getting those knots untied. Think about that today, and go to 54days.org. So Margie and Dick, so glad you could join us today, and we're going to have you back later to figure out and hear about what happened, you know, as a result of this great novena that's coming up.
Thank you so much, Jeff. The Rosary Film that Margie is our executive producer on, that's going to be launched hopefully in May of next year. So we got a lot of work to do, so please keep that in prayers.
We will.
Promoting that, making that available across the entire country.
What's the website for that?
It hasn't been designed yet.
Oh, okay. Well, just remember 54days.org, and hopefully you'll put something up.
Yes, in time. Yeah.
Well, God bless both of you, and say hi to everyone over in Wisconsin, and may the Twins beat the Brewers. That's all I can say. But other than that, may you have success.
Okay. I'm not going to cheer for the Vikings, Jeff.
Okay, we won't go there. That's a whole other show. God bless you. Yeah. We'll be back in just a moment. We've got so many things happening we want to tell you about on the Rediscover Hour. Big, big week coming up in the Twin Cities. Rediscover.
I'm Chris Burr, a Relevant Radio listener in the Twin Cities. I recently made the decision to be a sponsor after realizing how much sense it made for listeners to understand the real benefits offered by a reverse mortgage at Cornerstone. For many years, I've been helping seniors to live more confidently in their retirement. I live right here in the Twin Cities and can spend the time on the phone or in person to help you live more comfortably, make home improvements, or just give you financial peace of mind to stay in your home. I've been explaining reverse mortgages for years to help seniors understand the benefits to help fit their specific situation. I hope you'll call me if you'd like to know more about reverse mortgages. Again, my name is Chris Burr with Cornerstone Home Lending. I can be reached today at 651-341-0535.
Cornerstone Home Lending is an equal opportunity lender, NMLS number 422758.
In just a few minutes, I can share the details on how a reverse mortgage can offer peace of mind and security. 651-341-0535. And you come alive.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Lots happening in the Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis in this great archdiocese. So many things that I can't do it myself. I need the help of the golden voice, Paul Sadek.
And I'm here to help. The Feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is coming up August 15th, and you're invited to celebrate by attending the 4th Annual Many Faces of Mary Rosary Procession at the Academy of Holy Angels in Richfield. Procession is from 1 to 3 p.m. and includes special banners, songs, ethnic costumes honoring our Blessed Mother. Call Terry Rydacek at 763-242-7105 for more information. That's 763-242-7105.
All Saints Church in Lakeville is hosting their 7th annual garage sale. Don't miss this opportunity for some great bargains and a chance to support All Saints Parish, school, and local charities such as Pregnancy Choices and Sharing and Caring Hands. The early bird sale takes place August 12th, 3 to 8 p.m., and the sale continues August 13, 14, and 15. Find more information at allsaintschurch.com.
Next Sunday, August 16th at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen, you're invited to join them for their 82nd annual Famous Chicken Dinner, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., as they celebrate their 150th anniversary. Shuttles will run continuously from St. Hubert's to the historic church and back for tours throughout the dinner. For more details, go to sthubert.org. That's sthubert.org.
And also on Sunday, August 16th, St. Bridget's Heart of the Northside Festival will take place from 10:30 to 4 on the corner of Emerson and North Dowling in Minneapolis. Attend 9:30 Mass, stay for the day. Attractions include a raffle, silent auction, kids games, and craft sale. For more information, go to stbridgetnorthside.org.
Special healing mass for people seeking physical, spiritual, or emotional healing will take place Thursday, August 20th at Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata with Father Michael Becker, rector of St. John Vianney College Seminary, as principal celebrant. Rosary at 6:30, healing mass at 7. More details, call Teresa, 763-553-1343. That's 763-553-1343.
Come to Healing the Family, How Healing Reveals Our Dignity and Strengthens the Body of Christ, presented by Grief to Grace and Rachel's Vineyard, founded by Teresa Burke. That's going to be on Friday, August 21st. And by the way, Father Dominic Alain will be with her too. That's August 21st at 7 p.m. at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake. You can go to their website, churchofstpaul.com.
And what is coming up next week, Jeff?
We've got so many good things coming up, of course.
Some old friends.
We do. We've got some old friends. On the next Rediscover Hour, we're going to talk about healing the wound with Janet and Marty Meyer. The Myers are the retreat team for the upcoming Grief to Grace retreat, Healing the Wounds of Abuse. This spiritual program is for anyone who has suffered degradation or violation through physical, emotional, sexual, or spiritual abuse. You don't want to miss that. We'll talk about that next on the Rediscover Hour. Until then, you know what? Go out there, embrace Jesus, start praying the rosary. He's got a great plan for your life. Have a great week.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.